On both sides of my family, I have Christians, which is a huge blessing. If you have Christians for generations, you know that. And both of my grandfathers are from Switzerland, which is neither here nor there, except for, I think during the Reformation, the Swiss really held on to a strong and true Christianity. I know on my dad's side, they were part of the Anabaptists, which means they did not believe in infant baptism, but that a believer's baptism for that. They were persecuted. And I think we're so far removed from the Reformation that we have no idea how violent it was. But for years, I mean, we're talking 70 plus, could be more. I'm not a great historian. People were murdered for their belief in their understanding of Scripture. So one person would move into town and the governor would go, okay, this is what we're believing right now. And if that was not what you believed, they would kill you. And of course, the Catholics, no offense to you who have Catholic upbringings, but they were really irritated at the Protestants. And so they would have mass murders of Protestants. And so it was a very violent time in history, which I think is important for us to know, because anytime God breaks through some a lie of the enemy, it's chaos. I mean, it's total chaos for a long time. And so anyway, on my father's side, we got to visit some of the places where they would go into hiding to worship when we were over in Europe, because we lived there for a while, because they were part of the Anabaptists. So they had to hide. Otherwise, they'd be murdered, obviously, for what they believed. Anyway, so both of my Swiss relatives came to the United States around the turn of the century, and they both ended up in Oregon, obviously, and they had children who were my parents, and they met. And I know on the rich side, because rich was my father's side, because people actually wrote down memories. Soon after they came to America, they had a big family reunion. And part of the said purpose of this family reunion was to connect, but to encourage one another in the Lord. And they had this prayer that may the generations beyond us continue strong in the Lord. And when I read that, I just obviously wept. It's like, oh my gosh, we are standing in the blessings of those prayers and those lives. And so it's very true, these generational blessings. So thanks, George, for making me cry before I even start talking. That's really nice. So, yes, thanks. Today, obviously, because I don't preach, you know, women don't preach, some do. I don't, I just share. So I'm sharing a testimony from my life. And you would think that growing up in a Christian home and the church, I would have had it all together from the time I was five. But I don't. I still don't. I'm still learning all the time. And I know I've shared part of my life with you guys before. So here we go. Today it's going to be about truth. Truth is our foundation for freedom. And this scripture, John 8:31-32 says, then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, which means to liberate, to acquit, to set free, to deliver. And we often hear that verse quoted, but we often just hear the second part. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But it says, if you abide in my word. And that's what I really want to hit on today, is just abiding in the word of God, because abiding in the word of God is where our freedom comes. So let's pray. Father, you're so good, and you're so gracious, even when we don't understand that or know that, or we're lost to that. God, and we just thank you. We thank you that we are such a blessed people, because when we pray, you hear us. And you want to be such a caring father to us, and kind and merciful. God, you have all these things that you just want to pour out on us. And you do pour out on us even when we don't notice it, or are aware of it, or cannot believe it because of other lies we're believing. So God, we just say thank you. Thank you for your incredible patience towards us, that you never give up on us. God, thank you that you alone have truth that sets us free. So whatever's said today, God, I just pray that you use it for your glory to help us in our journey towards intimacy with you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So several years ago, It was when we were living here, probably in this church already. But we were driving from the coast back to here. Our parents lived in the coast, so we made a lot of trips there. And I happened to be reading the Bible, and I was in Psalm 15, 1 through 2. Oh, there we go. And it says, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle, who may dwell in your holy hill, he who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. As I was reading that passage, God just totally interrupted my thoughts. And he said, you know, Pam, you don't speak the truth in your heart. And I'm going, oh, right? Yeah, I know, I say bad things, whatever. It's like, no, because you don't believe the truth of what I've spoken to you about me and about yourself. Instead, you've chosen to believe the lies of the enemy. And believing the lies of the enemy is preventing you from entering into my presence. Not because it disqualifies you, but because you've disqualified yourself by what you're believing. Instead of believing my truth about what I've said about you and me, you've believed the lies of the enemy. For me, that was a shocking revelation. I'd never seen that scripture that way before. It really took me back. But it was such the kindness of the Lord that he would do that for me. And I'd been in that place for so long of living in condemnation from the enemy. And I'm very black and white in my thinking, which is not a good thing, you know. And there were some perfectionists in my life, which, you know, might not help that either. And so I always felt like I was a failure before the Lord. I kind of always felt condemned before God because I could never measure up. And I knew that God was faithful. That was beyond a shadow of a doubt in my mind. I knew that. I had seen that my whole life to my family. So I never doubted the faithfulness of God. And I knew he was good. But I didn't know the overwhelming kindness of the Lord. And I didn't understand that his mercy had me surrounded and covered. And I didn't understand that that I was totally loved and accepted by God all the time, no matter what. So those were things that, you know, you hear them, but I didn't know them. And so God's breaking into this situation because he wants me to learn to walk into that in him. My opinion was that God just kind of begrudgingly put up with me because I happened to be part of this Christian family. And that's really how I felt a long time growing up. And I would have these awful dreams where the rapture would come, because it was a big deal in the 70s to talk about the rapture, and they had these awful chick tracks, you know, that were doom and gloom, and it's like I'd have these dreams where everyone would be raptured except for me, and I'm like, God, what about me? What about me? You know, and it's like, surely because of my family, you're going to let me in or something, and so that was really a deep-seated mindset from the time I was little. Maybe not a mindset, a lie of the enemy, I would say, from the time I was little. But that day, God broke into my thoughts because he wanted to rescue me from those lies. He was speaking truth to me. He didn't condemn me. He was loving me. He lovingly broke in because he wanted a deeper relationship with me. When God spoke to me that day, that was a real defining moment for me, obviously. I still remember it. I think that sometimes we live in this world, and it's a fallen world, and the enemy has so much influence in our lives that we kind of forget to test the things that we hear. We kind of forget to put them to the litmus test, you know. The enemy is very shrewd. He's always mixing in a little lie with maybe a lot of truth. So it's really easy for us to swallow that and agree with him instead of really checking it out. So if what I'm hearing doesn't bring life to me, if in any way it steals anything from me, if it kills something in me or destroys something in me, such as my peace, my joy, my hope, even my opinion of another person, my opinion of myself, my opinion of God, my ability to believe what God says is true, if any of those things are happening, that's of the enemy. It's not God. The enemy always comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Anything that's not speaking life is the enemy, the work of the enemy. If the Bible tells us God's truth, then why am I so easily pulled into the enemy's lies? Well, I think part of the reason is because I'm not going to say you, but I often live by how I feel. It was not until Steve got into a lot of counseling, and he's like, your emotions do not need to rule your life. it's like, really? I didn't know that. It's like, this is how I feel. This is my reality. And it's like, no, truth needs to rule life and emotions need to come into obedience to that. But that was like a wholly new, totally new concept to me. So I think that, you know, we often live by what we feel and not by what God says. We live by what we see in the natural, or I do, and not what God says. But I think another reason it's really hard to believe God is because it's so astronomically ridiculous what God says. You know, it's like, you've really got to be kidding right now, God. So, you know, there was a time when we were newlyweds and we didn't really have any money. We got married. We were still both in college. I eventually finished college, and Steve was still going to graduate school, and we had this amazing opportunity to buy a repossessed house for $30,000, which, you know, is pretty amazing. Our payments were $300 a month. That's pretty amazing. And it's like, okay, this is about what rent is. And God paved this way for us to get this house. But at the same time, we couldn't get student loans. We couldn't get a credit card. We couldn't buy any furniture on credit. And yet we were buying this house. It was pretty funny. But God totally prevented us from having any debt whatsoever. And we're like, this is insane. How can you buy a house and not get a student loan? Or how can you buy a house and not have a credit card? Nowadays, it's totally different. They're trying to give them away. But at that time, it wasn't true. So there were several months, you know, where I would go to pay the bills, and it's like, I see what we owe. I see what we have. The two don't match, and this is the short pile. And but God, you're faithful. I know that. And so I'm going to trust you in that. But that's what he wants, but it's so not the world. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, my car broke down. I just took a pay cut, and God's telling me, don't worry, you've got to be kidding. But that's what he says, don't worry, because your worry can do nothing for you. You need to be at peace and trust me. I clothe the flowers, I feed the birds. I'm going to take care of you. But that world is not like that. That's not what the enemy tells us to do. The world's like, you got to freak out. I don't know. It reminds me of Home Alone. Oh, you know, that's our reaction. Either that or, oh my gosh, what kid can I sell to make some money here? I kid you not. I worked at UPS. I worked in the evening shift. It was me and a bunch of guys. They only hired me because I was a woman and they had a quota to fill. Because Steve and I both interviewed for the job. Steve is strong. Pam is not. They hire me. You know, just because I was female. So I'm working with all these guys, and there was a guy from another country. And when I was pregnant, he kept telling me, if it's a boy, I know who can buy it from you. I mean, literally, he would hound me day in and day out. Seriously, this is how much money I can get for you. And I'm going, you have got to be kidding. And he wasn't kidding. I mean, he was totally serious. I guess in his nation, that was okay. So anyway. So what kid can we sell to make this happen? I don't know. But our thing is to go fix or to freak out. And God's like, don't do either. I just want you to rest in me. Don't worry. You can't do anything about it. You just need to relax. God wants us not to be self-reliant, but to be God-reliant in any situation. He wants us to hang out in his peace. He wants us to trust him. So, there was a season a while back when I was really reading God's description to Moses in the Bible of himself, and it's in, I don't know, I could find it for you if you're curious. It's in Leviticus, I think. Oh, sorry, Exodus. Exodus 34:6. But in it, God said, now the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. And during this season, when I was really reading that a lot, I would close my eyes and I would imagine what that must feel like. To be enveloped in the presence of God. And I would imagine myself entering into that shimmering gold, I guess I always assume glory of God is shimmering in gold, the shimmering gold presence of God with this atmosphere that's saturated with mercy and grace and peace and goodness and truth And I would just kind of say those slowly and imagine what that would feel like. And the first time I did it, it was like I was just astounded. Not at the presence of all those things, but at what was not there. There was no fear. There was no anxiety. There was no anxiousness. There was no stress. There was no condemnation. It was amazing. I'm going, oh my gosh, God, this is what you have for us. This is what you have for us all the time. And yet, I haven't been able to walk in that. The verse I read earlier, it says, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. That's John 10:10. And there's that word except in there. The thief does not come except. Those are the only things he's about. He's only here if he's going to steal something from you, kill something in you, or destroy something. That's pretty shocking. I mean, really, that someone can be that bent on evil. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The enemy hates God. Hates God. But he can't kill God. So he tries to kill, steal, or destroy anything in our life that will destroy our relationship with God in any way he can. And we all know it started with his lie to Adam and Eve in the garden, when he undermined to them the true goodness of God. And that was the original lie. It's like, God's not as good as you think. He's not telling you the truth. And unfortunately, that's what he continues to do today. 1 John 3:8 states, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I love that verse. The works of the devil are his lies. That's how he defeats us. It's through his lies. So Jesus came to set us free and to liberate us from those lies through God's love and truth, which is what our original scripture said. It's through the word that we know the truth and we're set free. So back to my personal story. The Bible's full of truth. And you would think I could just read it and believe it and be set free. But that doesn't happen. And I don't know why, except for God does know we're very personal beings, we're relational beings, and praise God, so is he. And so he loves to come and speak a personal word to us. And I don't know about you, sometimes I can read scripture and apply the truth, but often it has to be God speaking a truth to my heart for me to really be able to walk in that. So there are two wonderful ministries that I've had experience with, Elijah House and Theophostic, although Jane tells me Theophostic is changing some, but probably for the good. I don't know. And both of these ministries are built on that premise, that through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you're able to recognize lies in your life, renounce those lies, and ask God for his truth. And I know throughout the season of this church, I've been really blessed by both of those ministries, and I know that my experiences with that have brought me to the place where I am today, where God's been able to speak even more to me. And in the past, God's spoken very powerfully to me through his word. And you've all had the experience. You're reading the word, and all of a sudden, something jumps out and just grabs your heart, and you're like, oh my gosh, I've read this 100 times, but today God was speaking to me. And those have come at times that have literally saved my life in an emotional sense. And there was probably 10 years ago, I don't know, I was going through this season, and I don't know, except for the grace of God, I don't know why I was going through this season, but it was hell. And that's how I would describe it, and God is gracious when he lets you go through those seasons because he wants to teach you something. And it felt like I was continually getting attacked, not only on the inside, but on the outside. And all these just verbal attacks and things were coming against me all year, and I'm going, God, what? What is up? You know, I was, by the end of that year, I was just devastated. I was so emotionally exhausted. And Steve and I were here for a meeting one night, and it was the Aglow Women were having one of their monthly meetings here, and the director came down, and I'd never met her before. And she gave me a word that night that was so powerful, and I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you. And I didn't bring the word, but it was something about your life is like a candle or a wick laid down, and you've laid it down before the Lord. And And anyway, it had a lot of meaning for me. And so then the next day, I'm at home and I'm reading my Bible. And I'm reading in Isaiah 41. And it's to Israel, but you know, God, it doesn't matter to God. He's going to speak his truth to you. And I'm reading this scripture, and he just grabs my heart, and I'm just weeping. And three times in that scripture, he says, I've chosen you. I have chosen you. I've chosen you. Three times he said, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. And three times he said, I'm going to help you. Three times he repeated those three things. And I'm going, oh my gosh, I'm just bawling, you know. And that meant so much to me in that season. But it also, he was preparing me for teaching. Because for years, when I first started teaching, I would cry every day on the way home from work. I can't do this. This is too hard. And I'd been out of it for years. And so then I go back and they just throw me in this room and go teach. And I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing, you know. And so I would bawl on the way home. And God's like, Pam, I've chosen you. Don't be afraid. I'm going to help you. It's like, oh my gosh, he's so good. He's so good when he does that. So I had my truth to hang on to. So, God obviously speaks truth to us. But I think what I've been learning in this latest season is that God doesn't want, I mean, he loves speaking truth to us, but he wants us to ask. And I don't think before then that I'd ever asked. You know, God, what lie am I believing? What truth are you wanting me to walk in right now? And I think that's what he really wants us to be doing. And that's kind of where I've come to now. So, very recently, I was reflecting on my life, and I realized that in my life, I don't think there's any area that the enemy doesn't have a button, that he can't come in and push, and I'm like, ah, you know, and it's like, that's insane that could happen. And it dawned on me one day. I woke up, and I realized, this is crazy. So I'm going to read it to you what I wrote in my journal that day. This is my journal entry. And for February 4th, which happens to be my birthday, and it was my 55th birthday, which I'm like, yes, double grace. I knew in January this was going to be a good year. I just knew God had things for me this year, and it's like, yes, 55th birthday. This is awesome. So here's my journal entry. There's a huge battle in my mind, and I have allowed it to cause me to walk in defeat for way too many years. May this be my year for your sufficient grace and my cooperation. To walk out taking back my mind from the enemy and submitting it wholly to you and your truth. At the moment, I cannot think of any area in my life where the enemy cannot come in and push a button to get a reaction. That should not be. I want to get to the place where any time a button's pushed, I run straight to you and your truth, eventually eliminating all buttons. I want my hope in you. I just lost it. My confidence in you, my boldness in you, my love in you, my passion in you, my destiny in you, my peace in you, my fulfillment in you, my delight in you, my comfort in you, my hunger in you, my esteem in you. Thank you for what I'm going to come to realize in you this year. After writing that to the Lord, then I open up my Bible, and this is what I happened to read that day, just out of the blue. And these are just parts of Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you in your day of trouble. May the name of the Lord of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he grant to you according to your heart's desire, fulfilling all your purpose. We rejoice in your salvation, your deliverance, and in the name of our God we will set up our banner. May God fulfill all your petition. Is that awesome or what? I'm like, oh my gosh, God, thank you so much. He is so kind and so amazing. Then, in church, during worship, he just rose this up in my heart, so I had to write it down. You are victorious, always. You have overcome the enemy in every area of my life. Therefore, it is impossible for you to set me up to fail, but only to succeed and to overcome, because that's who you are. Father, open my ears to hear the songs of deliverance you're singing over me. Your songs of deliverance are your truth that you're singing over me. Help me to join in your songs of truth that will set me free. So anyway, I'm like, oh my gosh, God, this is so awesome. You're just doing all these things. But it took me a whole day to figure out, oh, I should probably ask him what truth he's singing over me, right? That would be kind of nice to know for this season. Okay, God. So the next day, during my quiet time, I'm like, okay, God, what truth are you singing over me in this season that is going to deliver me, help me walk out of some lies of the enemy? And as soon as I ask the question, which I'm not used to that, I'm not used to God like answering so quickly, because I think I have to wait forever, but actually he was very kind. And he said, in every situation, Pam, I want to bless you. And for me, that was huge, because that was not my mindset. I always expect just the opposite. And so it's like, okay, God, this is awesome. I'm going to learn to walk in this truth. In every situation, you want to bless me. And I know you guys know we're going through this selling our house, buying land, building a house, and there have been so many obstacles that it actually has gotten kind of funny. But what a blessing that God gave me this truth. Pam, in every situation, I want to bless you. It's like, oh my gosh, thank you. So Steve will call and go, oh, this didn't work out, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yes, God wants to bless us. This is so wonderful. And really, it has kept my heart light in this whole process. It's like, God, you want to bless me. And one night during the Friday night is the night I come to the worship time. God showed me, he goes, the enemy keeps throwing all these things up to block this process. And I am laughing. He goes, it's so funny because I always have another answer. I always have another answer. I have so many more answers than the things the enemy could ever throw up. I just thought it was hilarious. It's like, oh God, you're so fun. So that is my truth for this season. It's wonderful to have a truth from the Lord. But a truth does you no good unless you walk in it and believe it. And the enemy's been so good about pouring all these lies into our lives. And, you know, if you've been through Theophostic or Elijah House, you know that something devastating can happen in your life and the enemy comes right in with a lie. And that lie's there until you've taken care of it. And you don't even realize how much of your life it affects. But over time, they've worn these really deep ruts, and it's really easy just to default back into that. And so it's a process. And the Bible tells us that there's a battle for our mind, and we have to be very purposeful in that battle of rejecting the lies, hanging on to the truth, rejecting the lies, hanging on to the truth. And we know that the Bible tells us that we need to take our thoughts captive. We need to speak the truth. And there's two passages I want to share with you. One is John 17, 16 through 17. And it says, they are not of the world. This is when Jesus was praying for the disciples and for us. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is your truth. So we're set apart, we're made holy by that process of hearing God's truth and claiming God's truth and letting it set us free. In Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, which is often quoted for marriage, but it's about the church. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her by the washing of water by the word. So there's his word again. That's how we're cleansed. That's how we're set free. It's those truths that he puts into our life that we need to hang on to. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she might be holy and without blemish. So it's his words that set us free, that make us holy. And the great thing about those two verses is that they each use a different word for word. So in the Greek, there's logos or a rhema word of God. And logos, in a simple sense, is the word of God, the message. And rhemos is like that now word of God that he's speaking to you in the moment. And he can do that through scripture, or he can do that just speaking to your heart. So everything, every word that comes from God, he wants to use to speak truth to us and set us free. So, you're probably wondering, and I am too, why it took me 55 years to get to this point. And part of that process, I think, is that sometimes it's really hard to understand, for me, in a fallen world, that God is really as good as he says he is. And that was the original thing that the enemy undermined in Adam and Eve. God's really not that good. He's really not what he's saying. And it's like he so easily can do that in our lives too. And so I think, God bless Graham Cook, you know, it's like his whole message is, God is really that good. He's really that good. And you listen to him enough and you're like, you start to believe that, oh, maybe God really is that good. And God really is that good. And I'm finally starting to believe that God really is that good. I'm starting to understand that his love and his kindness and his mercy, that those are all really there and they're really there for me. And that has to be our foundation, because you can't believe a truth about God and walk in that unless you understand God is really that good. Because otherwise you're always going, ah, but maybe not. Or then the other shoe's going to fall. And I'm actually the exception to God's goodness. You know, but if you believe, if you have that foundation in your heart that no, God is really that good, then you can begin to walk out the truths that God speaks to you. I know a ways back, I have days, don't know if you do, but I have days where my sin nature is more obvious, and I'm like, ah, you know, biting at everybody or whatever. And I used to, on those days, run away and go, oh my gosh, I'm such an awful person, this is horrible. And the last place I wanted to be was with God, you know. I should read my Bible, but there is no way right now. So, but he showed me one day, he goes, Pam, when you're like that, that's when you need mercy. So come to the mercy seat. That like changed my life. I've had a lot of changed life moments, but that was one of those where it's like, really? Oh my gosh, you're right. That's what your mercy's for. And I need that mercy right now. So I just want to encourage you, when you're having those days, just go jump on the mercy seat, because that's what it's for. The other day I read a Graham Cook quote that eloquently wraps up what I'm hoping that you guys kind of got today. And here's his quote. When we have our thinking governed by grace and mercy and truth, it sets us free to establish our real identity. When you think you're a sinner, it means you'll doubt the glory and the freedom that belong to you in Jesus. A sinner mindset cannot generate new life. Any mindset that's focused on the negative makes us captive to the enemy. And that's what the enemy's all about. So we have to have our mindset set on what God speaks to us, on his truth. So I want to end by reading Psalm 103. So if you want to turn there with me, if you have a Bible. I love this psalm. I come back to it again and again and again. And some people like read their Bible through. I don't. I kind of tend to camp out in one book forever. And then I keep coming back to it. And this is one of those. And for me, this is the foundation, I think, that God's really been building in me the last several years to be able to walk out these truths and believe the truths that he's been giving me, because this is really how good our God is. Praise for God's mercy, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, or my iniquities, all of them. Not some of them, but all of them. I looked up that word iniquities. It means those little evil bents in your life. So if you're prone to anger or judgment, or those are our little iniquities, our little evil bents, he forgives them all. That's totally amazing. Who heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who comes to destroy the enemy, right? We already read that. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to set us free by avenging and repaying that debt. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things. And those good things, those are the truths, because they renew our strength like an eagle. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who have been oppressed. And that would be by the enemy. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. And David took that right out of what God said to Moses. This is the truth about me. The first thing God says about himself is, I am merciful. I am gracious. I'm slow to anger. I'm abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. For he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. Just so you know, he says mercy 5 times in this passage. It's pretty amazing. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. These are like truths that are too big to believe in my mind. It's just amazing. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He knows our frame. He remembers that we're just dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place is remembered no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. It took me a long time to figure out why he had that scripture in there about man, you know, living for like a day. And then it dawned on me, before then, he says that his mercy is as high as the heavens, and his mercy is from everlasting, from here to there. And here's man, a day. His mercy's before us, it's after us, it's way over us. It's like, it's so huge. It's so huge. It just completely has us covered. That is just like so amazing to me. And his righteousness to his children's children, to such as keep his covenant and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He is so good. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We bless you for your goodness, God. And probably that's a huge prayer. Just help us to really believe what you say, God, that you are really this good. You're so good, you're so good, you're so good. And we know the enemy hates that you're so good. And he's going to do everything he can to convince us that it's not true, but it is so true. You are so good, God. We thank you for that truth, God. We just ask that you help us to hang on to that truth in our life when the enemy starts to whisper other things to us, God. And we just pray, too, that you would give us the truth for the moment we need now. God, that song of deliverance that you're singing over us in our current situation, you are so kind. I love that about you. You're so kind. You're like, oh my gosh, Pam's really struggling right here. I'm going to sing over her today. I'm going to sing the song that she needs to hear, that her spirit can recognize, but her soul needs to hear. Her soul needs to grasp onto this so she can walk into greater freedom, so she can walk into more of who I am for her and what I really am. And God, you are so good. We just say thank you so much. We just ask you to attune our ears to hear that, God, to hear those truths that you're singing over us that are going to set us free in our current situation, that are going to help us walk it out. God, that we'll be able to banquet at that table that you set before us in front of the enemy. Your word says that goodness and mercy always are following us. They're always there. Always there, God. We just say thank you, thank you, thank you. You are so amazing. We just love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, we're going to end with singing, worshiping. We're going to bless God a little bit.